So my name's Jamie Davis, the pod medic. For those of you that don't know who I am, we're going to be going into a sneak peek behind the scenes at the brand new program, EMS Bootcamp. And I'm really excited about it because there's an opportunity here for any EMS student or any prospective EMS student to really get a chance to get a head start and excel at their program, not just muddle through, but really come out the other end with a lot of good knowledge on how to succeed both as an EMS student and as an EMS provider at the other end. And I'm really excited because two of the best educators online in the EMS field right now, Jim Huffman and Greg Fries, have put this program together. And we've got Jim on the line with us right now. So Jim, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jimmy. Appreciate you taking time and doing this podcast tonight.
Well, it's important, I think, that we get the word out about what's going on with this program. And so what I'd like you to do is maybe give us a little insight into what you and Greg came up with here.
All right. Well, what wound up happening was that over the years, I've through my website, the EMS professional and paramedic mentor, and also Greg, a lot of what he's seeing with, he does a lot of continuing education development. And we kind of came with the idea that it would be great to be able to offer a really targeted way to focus on real niche topics within the EMS industry. And the best way we thought to do that would be to do a live webinar and cover the topic, you know, really break it down, dissect it, hit it from every angle we could think of. And at the end of all that, to give the participants a opportunity to ask questions that they have that maybe their instructors aren't answering, or their preceptors aren't answering, or even questions that they've had throughout their EMS exposure that they just couldn't seem to get answered or couldn't get a satisfactory response. So, and with that, you know, EMS Bootcamp was born, and we started the first one on exams, which is on July 15th, and that's going to be the first topic we'll be targeting.
Well, great. And we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you on the Skype line. So if that continues, maybe we might be able to get a hold of you over another line, a regular phone line even. So we'll see if it gets a little better. And otherwise, maybe we'll get a better signal if we go in through a regular phone line. Okay?
Okay, that sounds fine.
So you and Greg put this together, and you said you're starting out with the first program covering EMS exams. Why did you pick that as the first topic?
Well, I felt that to get a lot of, again, most of what I do from my website is based upon the visitor feedback and people who have either purchased my products or used any of my resources. And I go by what I find the industry is looking for, where I'm getting direct feedback from people that are out there that need assistance. And I get a lot of questions on things like, you know, I failed and what can I do to make it better, and you know, what tests they took and what difficulties they had with specific subjects in the test, or typical exam types and exam features, things like state exams or even the National Registry exam. And I thought that a great topic would be the exam to start off with, because this is where the jumping point is going to be for most people. You know, they're going to start out having to get their certification and have to get their license, and it's going to take them through their entire EMS career. They're going to continue to take tests throughout the EMS career and for further certifications and recertification. And by mastering how to take exams, they're going to have a really big chunk on what's challenging in the field taken care of, and be comfortable whenever they sit down for any type of exam.
I think that's really important to part of the, you know, the problem with a lot of people, and I think I've had the same response as you have, Jim, has been just the sheer dealing with the anxiety of taking the test. And, you know, half of the battle of getting through any of these standardized tests, whether it's your EMT B exam or your paramedic exam, or, you know, I even found it in my nursing boards. It's just, you know, half the battle is getting an understanding of what to expect, so that you don't have this fear going through you that you don't know what you're going to be running into. The fear of the unknown is just incapacitating for some people.
Absolutely. We're going to cover testing anxiety and be part of this webinar. And we're going to try to break that down and try to help people figure out what it is that they're anxious about. Is it this, their personality? Is it their difficulty in taking a written or practical skill exam? Or is it just simply just full understanding of being able to master the material? And hopefully we're going to give them the tools to be able to master the material so that to really minimize any anxiety they might be feeling when taking an exam.
Now, you have a lot of different things you're offering in this program, and I was going down the list looking at it, and people can go and take a look at it. Go to mediccast.com/bootcamp. I've actually got it set up so it'll take you right there. And your first one's coming up on July 15th, and it's going to be at 1100 hours Eastern Standard Time, so midday, but you are recording it, and so people who enroll in the program and get that first session will actually still get the session recorded sent to them. Is that correct if they can't make the live version?
Yes, it is. We're going to be recording the session, and once we have the posted bonuses that are there for people who enroll, which they'll get those bonuses immediately. But of course, the recording will have to wait until after the session is over. One thing I did want to mention, Jamie, since you took the time to do this this podcast tonight, I do have an unannounced kind of a surprise bonus for attendees who have signed up or who will sign up. And I figured I'd announce it tonight. What's going to happen is we're going to make a transcript of the webinar. So on top of getting the bonuses that are listed, getting the audio and the video of the webinar, the attendees will also get a written transcript of everything that we discuss during the webinar, so they can constantly, they can go back and refer to the written transcript, refer to the audio, refer to the video, and hopefully anything that they felt they missed or needed to maybe go back and review, they'll have at their fingertips.
Excellent. And of course, you're also including live Q&A as part of the program, so people that have specific questions can get them answered, and those questions and answers will be included in that transcript as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the entire thing will be in a transcript from pretty much from the recording to the very end.
That's excellent. Now, I have a question in the chat room from one of the guests in the chat room. Are you going to be talking about things to help people who are just poor test takers in general during the boot camp? And that's a great question, so thank you.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to really cover people that have issues as far as being a poor test taker. And what we're going to try to do is give them the tools to make them a better test taker. And we're going to talk about study habits, people's learning styles, the time that they take to study, distractions, what can be distractions, what they can do to improve that, things like study techniques, whether it's reading or writing, audio or video, study groups, using instructive feedback, all of these type of things we're going to go over, and each one of these little tools, and try to help people that might have that to really mirror the material and help them master it so they don't have as much anxiety and to make them their test takers for the future.
Yeah, I often find that people that just think they're poor test takers, it's not a question that they can't do it. It's a question that they haven't yet learned the skills that they specifically need, because everyone's different.
Right. Right. And part of this webinar, there's one section that I have put aside during the webinar, which is I titled it What Works for You. And it's really going to try to help people kind of figure out what works for them when they're taking an exam. It's not necessarily what they've pretty much seen their entire life on how to study for something or how to review for something. It's going to kind of focus on what works for them. It's just because something works for their peers might not necessarily work for them, especially if they're a poor test taker or they have issues when sitting down for an exam. So I'm going to try to focus on that, on what works for the individual rather than the entire, you know, world. You know, everyone is an individual. So I'm going to, hopefully that's going to really target that area and help people kind of figure out the little groove that they can get into to help them be better test takers.
I was looking on the website there, and again, for those of you that are checking in, medicast.com/bootcamp will get you there, and you can look at what I'm looking at. But you're including a lot of bonuses. I mean, it's not just going to be this extended webinar with Q&A and everything else, but it's really also going to have an opportunity to get some really cool extras that you've put in place. You got an interview with Dr. Greg Margolis about the NREMT, and that's an amazing segment in and of itself, just talking about the computer-based testing, which is still new to many people.
Oh, absolutely. I sat down with Dr. Margolis a while back, and we talked about two things. We talked about the National Registry Exam and the computer-based testing, and I tried to really break that down with Dr. Margolis and figure out what people seem to be having problems with and dispel some of the fears when it comes to taking that National Registry Exam. Because like you mentioned, it is still new, and a lot of people coming in that maybe that are been EMS providers for a while and now they're looking to get their National Registry, it's kind of daunting, and people get really stressed out over it. Some of the common things with that test is where it'll shut off on them after a relatively short number of questions that they've answered, and then they walk away thinking, "Oh my God, I must have failed because it shut off at 70 questions." But then the next day they find out that they indeed passed. And then on the opposite end of that, I have people who have taken the test and answered up to about 110 questions, thinking they absolutely failed, and again they wind up passing. And this interview I did, Dr. Margolis really broke it down. I thought he put a lot of information out there that really should put people at ease. And that transcript that I had done from the audio interview that I did with him, I think it really people are going to sit down and read that transcript and really be able to relax a lot more when I take that CBT exam.
Yeah, it's interesting, but those computer-based testing exams, what people don't realize is they are designed on purpose to be the hardest exam you've ever taken because it adapts to you. So if you're used to getting B's and A's on a lot of your tests throughout your program, and then you get to this test, what you don't realize is it's designed on purpose to get around a 50%, 51%. Because it's trying to get to the point where it can guess which questions you can get right based on difficulty level and which ones you're going to get wrong. And so it's trying to get you to miss every other one till it can figure out how good you are. Is that a fair estimation of the process?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's not really designed to trick people, but it's designed to go by the individual's knowledge and what they know. So if you really mastered your all of the material, you might actually find it harder because it's trying to challenge you while you're taking the test. I don't think it's dumbing it down where if you really didn't master it, it's going to give you an easy exam. But I think it's meant to make everyone feel as if they're really challenged when they take the test. So I don't think you really got too many people that have taken it that really walked away saying, "Yeah, I passed it." I think a lot of people that have taking the test might really walk away wondering how they did in the end. But it's designed to make people feel as if they are having an issue with it, as they're having a challenging exam.
Yeah, and I think that what they need to realize is that for every person that takes that test, it's they're going to all have the same response. It's going to be based upon them saying, "This is the hardest test I've ever taken." And that could be the guy that got straight A's through the class because the test quickly figures out that he can handle more difficult questions. And so it ramps the test up and begins checking in and giving them much more difficult questions. Whereas somebody else who is closer to the bar that they're setting for you to have to be over is going to have similarly hard questions to them, based upon the way the test is set up, but it may not be as difficult questions as the other person's getting. But it's really meant to give some confidence to the scoring agency, to the National Registry in this case, that this person has a minimum level of competency. And so they set the bar at a certain point, and you have to prove that you're going to be getting most of the questions above that bar right.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people I've seen some comments made about the CBT exam, how it's a joke and it's way too easy and it's not really setting that bar. But I tend to disagree with that. I think it really is setting a standard so that people that are taking that test, when they're finished with it, they really are coming away with a satisfactory knowledge that the people they're passing are going to be have the minimum knowledge to go out there and actually perform patient care.
Yeah. Now you have some other things you're offering as extras. And so you have that excellent 45-minute interview transcript about computer-based testing. Now you've got something here called the EMS Quick Study Guide. It's 120-page. I'm assuming it's some kind of an ebook guide, the PDF that they can download.
Yeah, that the EMS Quick Study Guide. That's something I've had on my primary website, and I've offered it for a few years now, and I offered it as a digital download ebook, and also it's available as a a physical book as well. And I'm offering a digital download of that, which normally sells for $18 on the website, but I'm giving it away free because I think it really augments the entire webinar itself. This is really like a soup to nuts of everything that you usually will see on a final exam. It'll go from everything from, you know, medical, legal, and the well-being of the EMT all the way up to, you know, OB and geriatrics and pediatrics and PCR writing and all that. And it's really a great guide to review. I mean, I've actually used that guide myself twice when taking a refresher exam. That was the only thing I used to study and refresh my memory when taking a refresher final exam. So that's really a great guide for any EMT or paramedic out there to really, you know, really kind of bone up and hit the key topics that you'll see on pretty much every EMS exam you'll probably take, every EMS final exam you'll take.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the most important thing I'm seeing here is you're really covering all the bases. It seems like you've got different things to help people that are having different problems with the test. We had somebody in the chat room that was talking about the fact that failing the NREMT paramedic test twice now, not really feeling very confident about taking it all over again. But the last time it seemed like the test was completely different and very anatomy and physiology intense. And I think that that is something that people need to be prepared for, that the test does change. And it is a random test, so you might need to bone up on different things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, talking to Dr. Margolis, I mean, he mentioned that people will never see the same test twice. No two candidates will see the same exam. And it does go by, as we mentioned earlier, you know, your response to the previous question. And perhaps your response to the questions the second time or third time you take it might be slightly different, and then giving you a different question every time. And of course, National Registry's question bank is probably vast, so they can, you know, pretty much guarantee you're not going to see the same question twice when you're taking the test. We will be going over the National Registry test in the during the webinar. We're going to be going over the CBT written exam, giving you an overview of it, some tips on how to prepare for it. We're sitting down taking the test and kind of maybe helping people figure out if they passed or they failed, and kind of maybe relieving some of their stresses on that. And in addition, we're going to go over some resources that they can maybe use to help further study and prepare for the National Registry written exam as well.
Wow, it's just a lot of stuff. Now, this is the first of many different boot camps you guys have scheduled. What are some of the other topics you're considering?
Well, we're planning on doing a different topic each month. And again, there'll be bonuses that'll be related to every topic. Some of these webinars are going to be free. Some of them will have a nominal fee to participate. We're thinking about doing things on like on diabetics, doing something on seizures, doing things on IV access, things that are out there that people seem to have a problem with, or people common calls that might be out there, like a seizure call, and really break it down to how to treat a seizure patient and all the different things that go around that type of call type, and kind of help people kind of figure out what to do with those when they're in the field. You know, when you're in the classroom setting, you know, they don't always go over scenarios and how to handle certain call types. It's kind of a textbook type presentation on, you know, what they can kind of expect and the clinical and, you know, pathophysiology of it. And during these webinars, we want to really break it down so they can actually take that information, and we're going to kind of build upon that and really help people, you know, kind of really grasp it and master each individual topic. And I think we're going to be able to do that, especially when we get to question and answer portions of these webinars. I think people are going to really be able to give me and Greg some questions that we don't even know existed. You know, so I think it's going to be a great opportunity for pretty much any level provider and at any part of their EMS career, whether they're just starting out or if they've been in the field for a few years.
And I think that's an important statement you make, that you and Greg might get some questions that you weren't really thinking about, because we all do so many different things and we all come at this from different directions. And you know, despite the fact that you have some experience and some history in EMS, there are always going to be those things that crop up that present you with new problems and issues. And so the two of you are going to be able to demonstrate how you can think on your feet and come up approaches using basic and standard protocols and ideas that everyone learns, and that applying things outside of the box is one of the things in critical thinking that I think every EMT and paramedic really needs to learn.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've worked in three different EMS systems, and each one was different, and I was made to adapt to the way that their protocols were and the way that their EMS system ran. And even though I've had, I have to say probably hundreds of, let's say, a seizure call, you know, you never get to say, no call is the same in EMS. And, you know, every call is a little bit different no matter what type of call type it is. And you have to be prepared for that. And I think by, you know, I'm over here, you know, in New York City, and Greg is in Wisconsin, and we come from two different parts of the country, you know, really coming at these different topics and breaking them down and probably maybe even giving each other different points of view that we might not have realized as well. So I think by having these varied points of view, and like you mentioned, you know, coming at it from different ways, I think it's really going to benefit those that, you know, take part in this. And, you know, each one, we're going to have the videos and audios for each session as well that'll be available to people. You know, I hate to see people, because I just did a video on the frequently asked questions I've been getting about EMS boot camp. And in the video, I kind of talked about people worrying about, oh, is it always going to be in the middle of the afternoon? Is it always going to be mid-morning? And I tried to, and I said, you know, this is the type of thing where we're going to kind of vary the time. It's not always going to be at 11, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to try to do some night ones, try to do things on the weekend. Because we understand that as EMS providers ourselves, that we all work different hours. We work at night, we work during the day, we work holidays, weekends. And I want to try to get as many people opportunities to participate in the live sessions and not really be forced to have to always revert to the recorded video or the audio. But those will be there for the people that unfortunately can't make the live sessions.
Yeah, and I think that's hopefully most of my listeners here that are on this call and listening in after the fact, because they're podcast listeners, they understand how time shifting works. You know, that it's wonderful to be able to have recorded content that you can take and listen on your own schedule, because you don't have to be there listening live all of the time. Dan in the chat room has a question. How do you address a gap in a student's knowledge of book smarts versus street skills in reality? Or does, you know, the target test, is this just targeting test-taking skills?
Well, it's targeting test-taking skills, but I had mentioned a little earlier, we're going to talk about study habits and study techniques. And, you know, a lot of people I find, a lot of questions I get about taking the exams, students try to apply the street way or the street methodology of treating patients when they're taking the exams. And a lot of times, you know, when you sit down to take an exam, the exam is built to kind of get the basics of what you've learned. It's not looking for the total ins and outs of treating a patient. So, for example, if you get a scenario in an exam where it's talking about a chest pain patient, and it goes to this whole scenario about 70-year-old male and crushing chest pain, difficulty breathing, hypertensive and all this, and then you have your four examples, let's say, and two of them, you know, right away are not going to be correct examples. They're going to be correct answers. But the other two is going to say, give 81 milligrams of aspirin and nitroglycerin sublingual. And the other one's going to say, provide oxygen via non-rebreather at 15 liters per minute. And it's looking for the oxygen answer and not the more advanced medication answer. And a lot of people will jump and go right for the advanced type answer first, because a lot of times in the street, everything kind of gets mingled. You know, one partner is putting the oxygen on, and you might be the paramedic, and you might be working with an EMT who's taking care of the oxygen end of it, and you're giving the medications. Oh, that's how you've experienced it when you've been with your preceptors. So when you see it, you know, in writing, you're putting yourself in the field scenario rather than in the actual, you know, sitting down and test-taking scenario.
And I think it's important for people to understand that, yeah, there is a very big difference between what we learn in a test-taking environment and whether it's taking a skills test or taking a written test or a computer-based test. Sometimes, and this sometimes makes people not trust those test programs, but it is more about learning how to take the test. And so a lot of schools teach you how to pass a program and not necessarily are going to be able to teach you the skills that you need to develop when once you get out on the street. Doesn't mean you don't have the knowledge base there to get you started. But ultimately, the only way to develop street skills is to get out on the street and build them, because we're all going to come up with tricks that work better for us, and the only way to learn them is to do them ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even take for example, starting at intravenouses, you know, they teach you in school a certain way to do it, you know, from sterilizing the area to how to present the, you know, the catheter. But I did a report a while back about difficult IVs, you know, getting difficult intravenous access on patients. And I actually went out and got a lot of feedback from field providers on what their techniques were with difficult IV starting. I got a lot of really weird feedback on how they start IVs for patients whose veins don't necessarily pop up, like the dummy arm you'll get when you take your practical skills test. And, you know, that report really opened my eyes a lot to across the country, how many people do it so many different ways, you know, all acceptable ways and all efficient ways, but some of them that people might not have heard of. And, you know, so like you mentioned, is it way different how you're going to be taught to do something and how you actually wind up doing something. And I think it's important to point out that if you always stick with the basics and you start with your ABCs, you're not going to miss any of the advanced things. You'll catch anything that you need to do on an advanced level if you start with the ABCs all the time and keep reevaluating that patient.
Yeah. A few other questions that I had, basically, Jim, where when you guys put this program together, if someone can't make the call, will there be an opportunity for them to email or somehow get a question into you to be addressed if they know they're not going to be able to be on the live call?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be sending out an email to the people that have signed up. And anyone who has signed up at the EMS boot camps into that email database, I have a sign up for future information to be notified for future boot camps and all. And in addition to my email list as well, they can give them an opportunity to go to the website and submit a question that they might have into a form on the website. If they want to do it in a less formal way, they can always email me the question at jhoffman@ems-safety.com, and they can email me that question directly, and I'd be more than happy to try to include those questions at the end of the session as well, even answer them, you know, kind of throw the question in during the session.
Great. Well, Jim, you know, I think unless you had something else you wanted to add or bring into the call, just basically I'm really excited that you and Greg have come up with this program, and I'm excited that you included me to invite the Medicast listeners to take a look at it. So I didn't know if there's anything else you wanted to add or bring into play. I know it's coming up on the 15th of July, and that's going to be just in a couple of weeks here, just under 2 weeks, with starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Well, the only thing I want to mention is if people are not interested in the exam boot camp we got coming up, I do suggest they go to the site and look at the actual format itself of the website. They can sign up for the email list for that website so that when future sessions come out, they'll be the first to be notified, because there is going to be a limited seating in these webinars. They are live, and we are using a professional software company to help present these online, but, you know, seating is going to be limited. So I'd hate for people who are interested and are listening to this podcast to miss out in the future if they, you know, they're not going to be, you know, notified right off the bat. The only other thing I want to mention, I think that's pretty much about it. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. It's not going to be just me and Greg as well. That's the one I wanted to mention. It's not just going to be Greg and I. In the future, we plan on having some speakers come on and give their expertise on specific topics, and we're going to try to get people who are actually, you know, gurus in their own right for a certain topic and certain subject matter, and we're going to try to get them in on these live webinars as well and really make it engaging so people don't be sick and tired of hearing just me and Greg talk every month.
Hey, Dan actually asked me a question. Why did I choose this product or service to feature and advertise here on the show? You know, I'll tell you, Dan, the reason I pick anything to you'll hear on the show, I pick things very carefully. I don't just take anything that comes along. In fact, I've turned away a lot of advertisers because I just didn't think that their products stood up to what I want, what I expected for my listeners. And one of the things that I always look for is something of high quality. And, you know, some people might say, well, hey, Jamie, this is a competitor. You have products that help people pass their testing as well. And, you know, my answer to that is very simply, you know, I don't see myself as in competition with anybody. My goal has always been and will always be to help EMS providers and EMS students be the best they can be. And I think that Jim and Greg agree with me on that. We've had lots of conversations over the last couple of years about why we do what we do. And my feeling is, you know, if we can help each other get the word out about what we're doing so that people can find the tools that best work for them. And I think that has been my goal. And Jim, I've talked to you enough times. I think you have the same goal in mind.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think that there's not enough of us out there that are really out for the individual EMS provider to make them better providers and better EMS professionals, and, you know, really focusing on what the individual needs rather than just being like a big, you know, corporate company just trying to make a buck, you know. So while some of the stuff that I have, I charge for, I give a lot of stuff away, but some stuff I charge for, most of that I'm not getting rich off of this stuff. Most of it's just covering my cost to create it and my cost to host it and to, you know, bandwidth and all that good stuff. So I'm not getting rich doing this stuff. I'm hoping that I'm getting rich in notoriety, that people will be able to turn to me and my website and services when they need help with testing and skills help.
Yeah, and I think that people sometimes are very surprised when they order something and they have a question about a product, and, you know, I'm the person that calls them, and yeah. You know, I'm sitting there going, this is me and my wife running this business out of our house in our spare time, and it really is been because I really enjoy educating. It's something I'm passionate about here in my community. And I have the opportunity and the knowledge to put out a podcast. And so I wanted to make sure that I could share the tools that I developed for myself. I mean, I started recording things to help myself learn better. And I did it all the way through paramedic school. I did it again through nursing school. And, you know, I am the proof that this kind of material works. And so why wouldn't I take what I have and share it? I think that's one of the reasons I like taking care of patients, is I want to help people. And I think everyone out there is the same way. So why wouldn't we be that way? And I think that there are a few of us independents out there that are really producing some of the best quality educational tools. When you look at the things that the textbook manufacturers are doing, you know, it's really just retread tires. You know, they get stuff that they've got in the can, and they re-release it under a different title. They rehash old material, and they make the
books thicker.
And they make the books thicker. And they make you pay again and again and again. Yeah, and they just make them more expensive. And, you know, I don't see any reason for it. You know, I try to keep things under control as far as the costs. You and I have been working together for a couple of years now, Jim, and, you know, I think we've both. You know, one of the reasons I like to have your products on my store and vice versa is because people have different needs, and you come at things a different way than I do, and they may like something you do better. Why wouldn't I provide that opportunity for them? So I'm really excited about this. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
The whole boot camp feature, I'm hoping that you'll keep me up to date with what you're doing and when the next ones come along, because I want to make sure that the listeners get an opportunity to check it out. And I've set up the link to get through to it so that anyone that wants to check it out can. Medicast.com/bootcamp will take you right to the EMS bootcamp site, and you can check it out for yourself. And I think really it's just another excellent tool that's come into the marketplace so that we can, you know, try to alleviate some of the strain. People are not having trouble getting providers to fill paramedic positions and EMT positions all over the country. And this is one of the ways that you and I can help people pass their exams so they can get out on the street and do the good that they want to do.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm definitely going to keep you posted. This way, you'll be able to pass on to your listeners, and I'm hoping in the future even to get you on the live webinar itself as one of the experts and participate in one of these live sessions and, you know, get you on out there as well.
Well, that'd be great. And I see Guest 8's been chatting in a good bit in the chat room, and he's just, you know, he's the gentleman that had an issue. I hope it's a gentleman. It may not be, and if it isn't, I apologize. But just worried about, you know, taking the test twice and having trouble on the third try and wondering. I just had another listener that had emailed me about test taking and preparing for the test, and you know, I pointed out that the best way to prepare for the test is to get a hold of a test question book and just keep taking those questions, going in there, dividing it up, figure out how long you have to the next test, taking it in chunks and saying, I want to get 1,000 questions under my belt or 1,500 questions under my belt sometime in the next, 20 days, because that's when my test is. And figuring it out how many you have to do each day, and that you're going to go back and review the previous day's questions to make sure you understood what you got right and what you got wrong. Because there are only so many different ways to ask a question about a diabetic and hypoglycemic patient. There are only so many ways to address a patient with a third degree heart block. And so if you've seen one or two questions on a given topic, specific topic like third degree heart block, you can be pretty sure that there are only so many ways they can ask that question. So if you're familiar with those two or three questions that you've seen, you're likely to have a handle on how they're going to ask that question on the test. And that's what I've found to be true. It's one of the reasons that they say that people who take more than 1,000 practice questions prior to the test do better than those who do not. And I think it just comes down to the fact that, you know, we can only ask these questions in certain ways and make any sense out of it. And so if you've seen a bunch of these questions, a light bulb's going to go on in your head. And that's what happened with me. And I've heard that same experience from other people.
Sure. Sure. You know, there's a lot of stuff online too, if people can get, if they're not that great at sitting down and having to go through a book, and it's a little bit cumbersome for them, they can do stuff online. There's numerous online exam companies out there that can go to that have practice paramedic and practice EMT exams, and you know, they can take the test online over and over again and help them. You know, like you mentioned, you know, there's only so many ways you can phrase a certain type of question. And I think once they see it a few times, when you sit down to the actual exam, that light bulb will go off and they'll realize that, hey, this is the same thing I've seen about 5 times.
Yep. So I hope that answered your question, Guest 8, and has helped you to understand a little bit about, you know, how that process works. And just because you've taken it 3 times doesn't mean, or 2 times, and this is your 3rd try, doesn't mean that you can have a you can't have success on a 3rd time around. And like I said, that other individual that checked in with me about taking it twice and on their 3rd try. They passed on their 3rd try, and I like to think it's because some of the advice I gave them helped them, you know, relax a little bit and get prepared for the test a little bit better.
Sure. Well, Jamie, you know, you had on test taking study report you have. I don't know if that's available for free on your site or if they have to be a member of the extra portion of your site or not. But that's a great tool as well that you know, they can use to try to help them prepare for exams also. I don't know if that's something they can get a hold of.
You know what? I think what I'll do is I'm going to put a little thing out there. Anybody that wants that test report, I actually have it, and I've been using it as an incentive for getting some survey questions answered so I can create better products and get better materials out there on my podcast for free as well as on the store site. But I'll tell you what, if you send me an email with EMT test in the subject line and asking for that report, I will get it back to you in the next 24 hours. So another thing you can get in your hands just for being here on the live call. So again, send me an email to podmedic@mac.com, and put in the subject line put in the subject line EMT test. And I'm going to put this in the chat room too. I can't talk and type at the same time. We've had this discussion before.
Yeah. They could go. I have a testing tips report too on my main website, which is also free. They can go to. It's a little bit different than the one you, as well. So maybe they can get some use out of both of them if they combine them together. That's at ems-safety.com/free.htm, and they can go there and download the free testing tips report I have there, and maybe that between that and yours. You know, maybe that can help, you know, dispel some people's anxiety and give them some great tips on taking exams.
All right, and you said that was ems-safety.com/free?
Free.htm, yes.
Oh, I got it right there. Okay, I'm going to put that in the chat room too. And so there's two free things you guys can get if you're interested. One you'll get from me is an email attachment. It's a PDF. I basically went out there and found some experts in test taking talking about general test anxiety and preparing for a test, and even down to like what you should do the night before and the day in the morning of, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people think they should be studying up to the last minute. And I'm a big proponent of, you know what, if you got 20 days to the test, study for 19, the last day, go to a movie, take your girlfriend, wife, or significant other out for a nice dinner somewhere, and go to a movie, get to bed early, get up and have a nice breakfast, and then go get your test done. Because I think that taking that breather gives your brain a chance to rest. Your brain doesn't stop working on these questions and these problems, but I do think that your conscious mind gets overly tired. So let your subconscious percolate that information. It's still in there, and take a breather and give yourself a chance to just let some of that steam off. That'll help with your anxiety a great deal. Well, I'm going to go ahead and I think that's it. I mean, we've got almost 45 minutes here, Jim, and I'm really glad.
Yeah,
I got
a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, really glad that we had a chance to get together on this. We got Clark from emtlife.com is on, just checking out the show and listening into the podcast, just brand new for the last week. So, Clark, thank you very much for checking in from EMT Life. Shoot me an email to that email address. I'd, you know, like to chat with you sometime. Maybe we can find a way to, you know, help get you an opportunity to feature this podcast and maybe some of Jim's stuff over at your site as well. That's going to wrap things up, I think. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Jamie.
No problem. And again, everybody, you can find out more by going over to mediccast.com/bootcamp, and that'll give you the information about what Jim's got put together. He and Greg Fries put together an amazing program over there. And you can also, of course, always find all of my stuff, the MedicCast, the Nursing Show podcast, all over at mediccast.com. We'll give you the links to those shows. And just a little plus out there, I'm looking for an intern, okay? Somebody that would be interested in maybe putting in a couple of hours a week to help out with some things I need to get done on the MedicCast site. It would be kind of, you know, keeping an eye out for news items and links and things. So if you're interested in that, it's not a paid position, but I can give you some great perks, especially if you're an EMS student. I can give you some access to some great free tools if you'd be willing to put a little time in to help out with the site. So I've put that out there for those of you that like might be interested. No web development experience required. I can train you to do everything you need to do. Really, if you can write a coherent sentence at all, and would be willing to maybe screen some web news about EMS topics and help me put some things together for the MedicCast site, I think that would be all we need. Everything else I can teach you how to do pretty easily. So Dan had that question. The requirements for that, if you want to find out more about it, shoot me an email, podmedic@mac.com, and I'd be happy to send you more of the details. Great. I want to thank Jim again for checking in, and I'm looking forward to this first session of the EMS Boot Camp coming up on July 15th and on covering EMS exams and really all of the future events that they're going to have planned. I think it's going to be an excellent resource for EMS providers ongoing down the line. So I'm really excited to see more. For the rest of you, I want to make sure you check back in. We'll have the next episode of the Medicast coming out this Sunday night, and that's going to be July 5th. As always, it comes out Sunday night, early Monday morning, sometime in there. And so you want to make sure you check that out. We've got Lisa Booz back from the Maryland Poison Center talking about antidepressant overdoses. And for all of you people out there that are picking up those emotional patients that have maybe threatened suicide or taken too many pills, this will give you an idea of the types of antidepressant medications they might have taken too many of and what to look for, signs and symptoms. Lisa's a pharmacology doctor, works with the Maryland Poison Center, and we're just so happy to have her as part of the show, and that'll be coming up on this Sunday night's episode. Jim, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, and we're going to sign off. Everybody in the chat room, thank very much for the questions, and I want to wish everybody that's planning on taking the test here soon, wish you all the best of luck, and please keep in touch and let me know and let Jim know how you do on your tests. We really do care. We really want to know, and we really want to cheer for you when you do well and help you out if you don't so you can do better the next time. So until next time, this is Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. I want to remind all of you, most importantly, don't forget Scene Safety and BSI.